الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ما نهي عنه، باب ما نهي عنه من البيوع، the chapter with regards to that which has been forbidden, the chapter with regards to that which has been forbidden from transactions, has preceded that we have seen the fundamental principle with regards to buying and selling is that it's lawful. سبق البيان أن الأصل في البيوع الإباحة والجواز has preceded with regards to the issue of buying and selling that the fundamental principle is that it's lawful and permissible إلا فيما جاء بيان خلافه في الكتاب والسنة except in the case the clarification has come contrary in the book or in the sunnah, in the book or in the sunnah. So the fundamental principle with regards to buying and selling is that all transactions there are lawful except for where there's an evidence from the book or from the sunnah clarifying otherwise. And for this reason, the author, he mentions the chapter in this manner, بَابُ مَا نُهِيَ عَنْهُ مِنَ الْبُيُوعِ, the chapter with regards to that which is forbidden from the different business transactions, because the origin is that they are lawful. So the aspects that are permissible and lawful, there are many. And as for the aspects that are forbidden, they are numbered. They are numbered. The people of knowledge, they mention, and I have many summarized benefits here. والحاصل أن المعاملات المحرمة ترجع إلى ضوابط أعظمها ثلاثة. And to summarize, the forbidden transactions, the forbidden dealings and transactions, they go back to principles. And the greatest of them are three. The greatest of them are three. The first one, الربا, بأنواعه الثلاثة. The first one is الربا, and it's three different types. الربا, it occurs in three different manners. All of them are forbidden in any aspect that they occur. In any aspect that they occur, ربا الفضل, the ربا, which is known as الفضل, which is with increase. وربا النسيئة, the ربا, which is called النسيئة, which is because of a delayed payment. And the riba, riba al-qard, and the riba that occurs because of a loan, because of a loan. The second aspect, al-jahalatu wal-gharar, al-jahalatu wa al-gharar, because of ambiguities, or unknown ambiguities or unknown realities with regards to the transaction, or with regards to the contract, with regards to the item, or with regards to the price, or because of hidden dangers and hazards and the likes. ويدخل فيهما جزئيات كثيرة, جزئيات كثيرة وصور متعددة, وصور متعددة. Many aspects are included in this affair here. So these are great principles that underneath them, many different forms of transactions or business or trade will be considered forbidden. And that's because these different manners of business transactions, they contain these affairs here. Either number one, some aspect of riba, some aspect of a riba with its three different types, or number two, because of al-jahala or al-gharar, because of ambiguities or things that are unknown or hidden dangers and risks that cannot be identified with regards to the item for sale or its price, so on and so forth. Number three, al-khida'u والتغرير, any deception and trickery and exposing a person to great harm and dangers. ويشملان أنواع متعددة, and these affairs here, they include a number of different types, the people of knowledge, they mention, فهذا مجمل المعاملات المحرمة والتفسير وبيانها فيما ذكره المؤلف رحمه الله من الأحاديث. So this is the general principles with regards to that which is forbidden from buying and selling, and that which is mentioned in detailed clarification is coming, and that which the author has mentioned from these narrations. So in general, the prohibited transactions, they return back to one of these three affairs. Before we begin reading, we take some important narrations that are considered fundamentals with regards to this chapter. And from that is what is collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that he said, Naha an Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an bay'il hasat wa an bay'i al-gharar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade the transaction. He forbade the transaction of al-hasat, of the pebbles, any of the small stones. وَعَنْ بَيْعِ الْغَرَرِ. And he forbade likewise the transaction that consists of al-gharar. So the transaction known as بَيْعُ الْحَصَاتِ, this has a number of interpretations. From that is that it's been mentioned that one will say that there are a number of items here for sale, a number of, for example, thobes and packages. For example, whichever one this stone falls on, it's yours for $10, or it's yours for $20. He doesn't know the type of thobe or the quality of the thobe and the brand of the thobe. All of these things, they're unknown. There's a number of different thobes there, the size of the thobe, for example. All of these affairs are unknown. There's a number of different items there, and the seller, he would tell, here's the rock, or he would throw a rock himself, a small stone, and say, whichever one the stone lands on, it's yours for 20. And the man, he'll say, okay, and then he'll do that. So he doesn't know if he's going to get one that he likes or one that's beneficial, that's even worth $20. Maybe it's worth more than $20. There's so many uncertainties in this type of transaction. So this is forbidden. And in reality, this is a type of gharar. This is a type of gharar. And this is also in the narration. Another interpretation of this has been mentioned that one, he will say, I'll sell you this land here from wherever you can throw a stone. And however far you can throw this stone, then wherever the stone lands, then that portion of land is yours for such and such and such and such. And so this is likewise carrying ambiguities and things that are unknown. Maybe he's strong, he can throw it far. Or maybe he's not strong, he cannot throw it far. Maybe the wind's against him, so on and so forth. Maybe he'll throw it farther than he thought and it will roll. Or so on and so forth. So it's not known exactly how much land is for sale. So therefore, there's great ambiguities and dangers here, and hazards and the likes like this that could lead to disputes and lead to problems and lead to issues. So all of this is forbidden. This narration here is a fundamental principle in the chapter. It's a fundamental principle in the chapter. Naha an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil gharar. Anil gharar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade al gharar. And it's been mentioned that al gharar, it refers to transactions with hidden risks or ambiguities, potentially leading to deception. It involves unclear aspects like the condition, quality, or existence of the item being sold, which can result in unfairness or harm to one party or both. This aligns with the prohibition of ghish, of deception and using deceit and trickery, and the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as both involve entering into a transaction under false pretenses. And he referring to another narration also collected by Imam Muslim, which is as well narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ghasha falaysa minna," that whoever deceives and he while buying and selling, then he's not from us. Then he's not from us. And this narration here, it has a story. And there was a man, and he was and he had a subra min al-ta'am, a subra yani kawma min al-ta'am. He had a pile of food, and he had his food for sale, items for sale, food items for sale, like vegetables or the likes, and they're piled up in a pile, piled up in a pile. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came by and he stuck his hands inside the food. And whenever he got underneath the top, he felt some wetness. And then he said, he asked for the owner. He said, "What is that? What is this wetness I find?" He said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, earlier it had rained. Earlier it had rained." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, "You should keep it on top. You should keep it on top. Man ghasha falaysa minna. Man ghasha falaysa minna. Whoever tricks us, he's not from us." And he put the one that's wet, or the one that's damaged, or the ones that's exposed to damage, and the likes like this, is covered by the ones that are good on top, and the likes like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this narration: "Man ghasha falaysa minna. Whoever deceives, he's not from us. He's not from us, and he's not following our way properly. He's not upholding the rights of this Islam correctly. He's not upholding the rights of Islam correctly." So in general, a believer, he will be honest and truthful. And this has preceded in our previous class and the previous narration about the obligation of being honest and having integrity in buying and selling, and clarifying any deficiencies or defects or anything that needs to be clarified in order to avoid disputes or conflicts or problems in buying and selling from both parties, and that the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal comes about in this manner. That the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal comes about in this manner for a businessman, for one buying and selling. And as for the one who is contrary, and he uses deception and trickery, or he conceals or lies and is dishonest, then this is a means for the blessing to be stripped from his trade, for the blessing to be stripped from his trade. It doesn't necessarily mean he will not profit, but the blessing of that profit will be stripped. The blessing of that profit will be stripped. So it's of utmost importance to uphold these rights in all aspects of life. First and foremost, the dealing with the people must be in reality dealing with Allah. Allah, He is our creator, He is our provider, He is our sustainer, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has legislated rights, rights that are directly related to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be worshipped alone with no partners, to make the religion inwardly and outward in entirety for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, with love, hope, and fear, and trust and reliance, sincere devotion and worship and obedience, inwardly and outwardly. And likewise, the rights that He has legislated and given the creation, they must be upheld. They must be upheld for the sake of Allah. So giving the husband his rights and giving the wife her rights and giving the children their rights and giving the neighbor their rights and giving the people in the markets their rights, so on and so forth, giving the people their rights, this must be done for the sake of Allah and from the completion and perfection of the deen. So we're ordered to have al-ihsan fi ibadat al-khaliq and al-ihsan fi mu'amalati al-khalq. We must have ihsan, yani excellence in worshipping the creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise excellence in dealing with the creation. And this requires for us to learn and to abide by and uphold the rights of al-Islam, the sacred rights and limits that are prescribed in the deen of Allah azza wa jal, clarified in the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From that, the issue with regards to buying and selling, there are great limits. There are great limits that one he must uphold and abide by. The one he must uphold and abide by. And from the best of them is that one he's honest and truthful. Is that one he's honest and truthful and has integrity in his dealings with the people. And we all know the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu, which is from the Muttafaq alayhi, and also from the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Not one of you truly believes, and not one of you has fulfilled the rights of Iman, not one of you has completed his faith that is obligatory for him to fulfill, until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So just as one would not like to be deceived or tricked or taken advantage of or gotten over on and the likes like this from his brother, then it's incumbent that one does not do that to his brother. That one, he does not do that to his brother, So again, to be honest and to be truthful is from the fundamental principles of successful business and successful trade and commerce. From successful business and successful trade and commerce. In our previous class, we had seen that the true business is seeking the blessing of Allah. The true tijara, at-tijara al-rabiha, at-tijara ma'allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true tijara, the one that is full of great blessing and profit, is the one that's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, he's buying and selling and he's hoping to make a profit, but that profit will not be blessed for him and good for him except if he has the blessing of Allah. So therefore he must be honest. He must be truthful in that. And he's hoping to have a profit, which is also in the hands of Allah azza wa jal, and for that profit to be blessed and good for him, which is in the hands of Allah azza wa jal. So in reality, the issue is going back to him fulfilling the rights of his deen and seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who sells his religion for a dollar, then he has made a miserable transaction. And then his transaction is from the worst and most lowly. And will have a miserable outcome with yadhu billah. A miserable outcome with yadhu billah. And those who miss out on this point here, and that the true business, is striving to seek the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal and doing that which is pleasing to Allah, hoping for his reward, hoping for his promise, and hoping for his mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the true tijara. Tu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir wa tujahiduna fi sabilillahi bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. This is the true tijara that will save you from a terrible and painful punishment in the hereafter. Those who miss this principle here, they're the true losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about them. Ula'ika alladhina ishtaraw ad-dalalata bil huda. Ula'ika alladhina ishtaraw ad-dalalata bil huda. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. These people here, those who have turned away from sincere faith and working in the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَى. That they purchased misguidance with guidance. And they had guidance and they sold it for misguidance. That's the way of the people who show preference to this life over the hereafter. They have sincere faith and they sell it and give it away for a miserable portion of this life. They have sincere faith and they sell it for a miserable portion of this life. And this is from the signs of the end days. And yusbiha الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا والعياذ بالله، ويمسي الرجل مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا والعياذ بالله. A person, he will come in the morning as a believer, and by the evening time he would have disbelieved. Or in the morning and in the evening time he's a believer, but by the morning time he's a disbeliever. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِغَرَضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He will sell his deen. He'll sell his religion, his obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a miserable portion of this worldly life. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. These people here, they're the ones who have purchased misguidance with guidance. They have purchased misguidance with guidance. And they preferred misguidance and deviation, following desires over guidance. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. These people, their commerce, their trade and their business was not prosperous. Was not prosperous. Even if they get a daughter in their hand, it was not prosperous. And in the end, they will see the reality. They will see the reality and they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will be taken to account. They will see the great loss that they had embarked upon and the deception that they had by trading guidance and obedience for deviation and disobedience. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. So the issue of al-gharar is from the fundamental principles with regards to that chapter of al-buyu', any clarifying that which is forbidden. So many aspects are included here. It's been mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, an interpretation of al-gharar, a brief definition. Ma lam yu'lam husuluhu. Ma lam yu'lam husuluhu. Gharar includes a number of things. From that he says rahimahullah, ma lam yu'lam husuluhu. That which is not known if it could even be obtained in the first place. Aw la yuqdar ala taslimihi. Or a person, he's not known for sure whether he even has the ability to actually bring the item. And that's for sale. It's not known or certain. Can he even bring the item that he's claiming to sell? أَوْ لَا تُعْرَفْ حَقِيقَتُهُ وَمِقْدَارُهُ. Or the reality of that item is not known. There's too many ambiguities. The item is not known. The item is not known, or the reality of it is unclear, or the amount of it likewise is unclear, or even we could say the term as well of the contract, if that's unclear. All of this is from al-gharar wa-jahala, which is forbidden in al-Islam because of the oppression that is found therein for one or both parties, and likewise because of what it leads to from disputes and quarreling and great dissension and hatred and animosity in the hearts of the people. In the hearts of the people. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he began with the hadith of Abi Sa'id. He says, and Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an al-munabadah, wa hiya tarhu al-rajuli thawbahu bil-bay'i إلى رجل قبل أن يقلبه أو ينظر إليه ونهى عن الملابسة والملابسة لمس الثوب لا ينظر إليه. So he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى the narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he prohibited the contract of المنابذة. المنابذة. The author says, and that is that a man, he will throw a thobe for sale to another man and he will not look at it or turn it over or check it out whatsoever. And وَنَهَا عَنِ الْمُلَامَسَةِ وَنَهَا عَنِ الْمُلَامَسَةِ. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade الْمُلَامَسَةِ. And it's come in the narration, وَالْمُلَامَسَةِ لَمْسُ الثَّوْبِ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. And الْمُلَامَسَةِ is that a person, he would touch the thobe and he will not look at it. And he will not look at it. So these are two types of business contracts that are forbidden. The first one is called الْمُنَابَذَةِ. And the second one is called al-munamasa, al-munabada wal-munamasa. First, we see here there's a prohibition. The people of Nahr, as they mentioned, al-nahyu talabu al-tark, al-talabu al-kaf. Whenever this word is used here, naha, naha, or like in the chapter, nuhiya, when nahyu talabu al-tark. This means that it's required to leave something, to avoid and stay away from it, to avoid and stay away from it. Wal aslu fihi التحريم إلا بالدليل. In the fundamental principle, whenever we see a prohibition or the word prohibited or he prohibited or he forbade, is that this is something that is an ultimate prohibition, meaning that it's haram and not allowed absolutely. Meaning that it's haram and not allowed absolutely. Also from here, the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, والتحريم يقتضي الفساد. التحريم يقتضي الفساد. If the dealing is considered haram, then that means that contract is invalid. That means that contract is invalid. Similarly, like that, any if the action of worship described with fasad, then the action is invalid and one must repeat it. If the contract is described with fasad, likewise the contract is invalid. It must be redone properly. It must be redone properly. If it's an action of worship, then the one that's considered correct. If it's an obligatory action, then the obligation is lifted. The obligation is lifted and he's free of blame. He has fulfilled that right. And likewise, there's a reward for him. But as for if he did not do it properly and it's invalid, the action of worship is invalid, then the right is still upon him and not lifted. For example, if he prayed and he forgot to make wudu, then his salah is batila, fasida, it's invalid. Meaning that if it was an obligatory salah, he has to repeat it. The obligation remains on him. The obligation remains on him. Similarly, like this, barakallahu fikum, in the dealings, in mu'amalat, if the contract is described with siha, if it's correct and it's valid, that means that what that which is in the contract, what is based upon, would occur. In a business contract, there's an exchange of property. There's an exchange of property and wealth. One, the cost of the item will exchange hands. The cost of the item and the item will exchange hands. A person, he bought a vehicle for 5,000. The 5,000 will exchange hands and go to the one who sold it. And the vehicle will go to the one who purchases. Now the vehicle becomes his and the 5,000 becomes his. So this is whenever the contract is valid. As for whenever the contract is invalid, then that transaction is unlawful and not proper. It's not there. They went through with that in an invalid contract. Then this is not really his car and that's not really his money. You understand? So now if they don't fix that, then he's riding around in a car that does not belong to him and he's spending money that does not belong to him. So maybe one will not see directly the outcome of that in this life, but he will die and be taken to account. So the transactions, they must be valid in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And again, whenever we're doing these transactions, the one that we're dealing with first and foremost and seeking his pleasure is Allah. So we must deal with the people in a manner that's lawful, or else we'll earn the anger of our Lord, even if the people like us. You understand that? So we'll not sell the pleasure of the people for the anger of Allah, or we'll not sell the pleasure of our soul for the anger of our Lord. We must make sure that our contracts that we do are valid, any that they're proper and correct. So the contracts that are forbidden, the origin is that means that it's haram. And if a contract is considered haram, that means that it's invalid. That means that it's invalid. So contracts with interest and the likes like this is invalid. Any contract that's haram, these contracts are invalid, except whenever there are circumstances clarifying that it's still valid and it can be rectified. And it can be rectified. Same thing with other contracts and other aspects of the religion, like marriage contracts and divorce contracts, so on and so forth. There are other contracts as well that one may have with the people of peace and treaties, so on and so forth. The dealings that they have, they must be valid. They must be valid. And if they're not valid, then they're not standing. They must be lawful. They must be permissible in order to be valid and to be proper and to be good and to be got proper and to be good. So these two types of transactions here, they're mentioned specifically. They're mentioned specifically because they're from the transactions of al-jahiliyyah. But in reality, both of them are included in the second aspect that was mentioned previously. Al-jahala wa al-gharar. Al-jahala wa al-gharar. So to clarify, al-munabadha wa al-munamasa. Al-munabadha, the people of knowledge, they say, mufa'alatun min al-nabdh. Nabadha yanbidhu. Nabadha yanbidhu nabdhan. Yaitha alqa shay'an wa ramahu. Al-nabdh is to cast something, to throw it. To throw it. So al-munabadha, he's casting something. He's handing something over. He's giving it to him. He's giving it to him like this. So it's mentioned here, طَرْحُ الرَّجُلِ ثَوْبَهُ بِالْبَيْءِ إِلَى الرَّجُلِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقَلِّبُهُ أَوْ يَنْظُرَ إِلَيْهِ. And he meaning that he has an item for sale, he just throw it to him like this. He said, well, if I throw it to you, it's yours for 10. And whether he doesn't look at it, he doesn't check it out, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't know its reality. He doesn't know anything about that. So this is a means that could lead to disputes. Maybe he's getting what he's looking for. Maybe he's not getting what he's looking for. Maybe he's getting better than he's looking for and the likes like this. So this is forbidden. And he has a thobe. He just grabs a thobe right here and he throws it to him. It's yours for 20. Once I throw it and you catch it, it's yours for 20. Okay. Okay. And then he throws and he catches. Oh man, this doesn't even fit. Oh, this is for women. Or there's so many options, right? That could make that could cause disputes, make him not satisfied or happy with the transaction. And now he doesn't want to pay the 20. So now they're going to dispute. Now they're going to have a problem. And sometimes disputes lead to separation of ties, or sometimes they lead to blows being thrown and even death. And even death. And even death. Any because of a small transaction in the beginning. But then shaitan comes between the two and they rile each other up and they begin fighting. And the likes like this, or they have extreme animosity. So the point is now that he must look at it and check it out and see what it is and make sure that it's what he's looking for and then pay for it. And then pay for it. If he throws it to him, he looks at it and okay, I'll take it. Like that, that's fine. The issue here is like, I'm going to throw you this item and you're not going to look at it. You're not going to check it out. Just simply, as soon as you catch it, it's yours for 20, or it's yours for 50, or it's yours for whatever they agree upon. This right here is not allowed. This right here is not allowed. Some another interpretation of munabada is what has proceeded from al-hasad. Bayr munabada, any casting the stones, meaning that however far you throw the stone, that land is yours for such and such. Or whatever garment this stone lands on, it's yours for such and such. And the likes like this. This has also been an interpretation of this affair. So whichever interpretation it is, it's all included here in the issue of al-gharar. That there's great dangers and ambiguities here, and it's forbidden for that reason. And again, why it's mentioned specifically is because this was well known in the times of Jahiliyyah. So there's a prohibition as has preceded that the Prophet, he forbade gharar. So in this narration, many aspects are included. And here are some of the details of them that were present in the times of Jahiliyyah. Some of the details from them that were present in the times of Jahiliyyah. As for al-mulamasa mufa'alatun min al-lams. Mufa'alatun min al-lams. Al-lams is to touch something. To touch something. لَمَسَ يَلْمَسُ, like this, to touch something, to touch something. So he would say, whatever thobe you touch is yours for this much and this much, with the condition you don't look at it. You can't look at it. Whichever one you touch is yours for this much or this much. And he'll say, okay, and he'll go through there and he'll touch one. And then after that is his. And then, oh man, this one's for kids. Oh, this one is too big. Oh, I didn't want a white one. I want a red. I want a blue one. Or like this. He doesn't know the reality without looking into it, without verifying it, without checking it out. This is all forbidden. This is all forbidden. And the reason why it's forbidden is because of the gharar that is found therein. So from the benefits of these narrations, we see number one, لما النهي عن بيع المنابذة والمنابسة. Any of the prohibition of these two types of transactions, al-munabadha wal-munamasa, and that lima fihima min al-gharar wal-jahada. This is because of what these two transactions consist of gharar and al-jahala, yani things that are unknown, ambiguities and hidden dangers and deception and the likes. And deception and the likes. وَلِأَنَّ أَحَدَ الْمُتَأَقِدَيْنِ إِمَّا غَانِمٌ وَإِمَّا غَارِمٌ. This is because one of the people in the contract is either going to be a winner or he's going to be a loser. He's going to be a winner or he's going to be a loser. وَهَذَا دَاخِلٌ فِي الْمَيْسِرِ فِي الْمَيْسِرِ الْمَنْهِي عَنْهُ. And this is included in al-maysir, which is gambling, which is forbidden as well. Which is forbidden as well. And meaning that any person who have a number of items, some of them are valuable and some of them are not. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some of them are high quality, some of them are low quality. And then he'll tell that person, whichever one you touch is yours for 50. Like this. So he doesn't know. Maybe he's going to touch the one that costs 100. Maybe he's going to touch the one that costs 10. And he's given 50. So if he touched the one that costs 100, he came up. Right? He came up. He made a profit. And the other guy, he lost out. And if he touched the one that was for 10, then he lost. And the one selling, he had a great come up. So the item was only for 10, but he paid 50. Or the item is worth 100, but and he paid 50. So in one way or the other, the one of them is going to be a loser, and the other one's going to be a winner. And this is a type of gambling. Gambling is forbidden in Al-Islam. Gambling is forbidden in Al-Islam. Either he's going to win and profit, or he's going to lose, And so this is not allowed. This is not allowed. Gambling is forbidden. Gambling is forbidden. Inshallah, in classes to come, we'll discuss maybe this issue in some brief detail. Number two, أن هذين البيعين غير صحيحين. لأن النهي يقتضي الفساد. That these two types of transactions, they're not valid. They're not valid because the prohibition here means that the transaction is invalid. Number three, يستدل به على عدم صحة شراء المجهول وعدم صحة شراء الأعمى. فيما طريق العلم به النذر فيما طريق ad ilmi bihi an-nadhr. The people of knowledge have used the likes of this narration as an evidence that it's not lawful to sell something that's unknown. To sell something that's unknown. We discussed this before likewise, right? Mystery package. The mystery package. So the likes of these narrations and the issue of gharar in general, it's not allowed to sell mystery package. It's the same concept. It's the same kind. Sometimes they have a bag. They get like a paper bag, right? A brown paper bag, and they'll fill it up with stuff, and then they'll put $10 and then question mark on it. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. And it could be worth $25. It could be worth $10. It could be, maybe it's worth $20 in reality, but you don't know what it is. Maybe something you need, maybe something you don't need. And the likes like this, the mystery package. The mystery package. All of this is forbidden. And the likes of these narrations and the topics that we're discussing are the evidence for that. Also, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned as well, that it's not lawful for a blind man to purchase something that the way to know it is by seeing a blind man. You can only know its reality if you see it. And in some items, you can touch it and know, okay, it's good. Or you can figure it out like that, or smell it, so on and so forth. But some things you will not know the true reality of it except if you see it. So a number of people have not as mentioned that the blind man, if he were to buy something like that, it would not be considered valid. It would not be considered valid, and Allah knows best. لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ يُفْضِي إِلَى الْغَرَرِ, because this leads to gharar, any ambiguities and the likes, and these dangerous risks and aspects of deception. أما بيع الأنموذج فصحيح وكذا المعطاة في الأشياء اليسيرة والله أعلم. As for selling something that is example, it's an example. You have an example. Like for example, they put a thobe on the wall, and then they have 100 of them in packages. They say everyone in the package is like the one on the wall. You understand that? They're all the same. Each item, every last one of them is the same, and they show you an example of it. They make a lot, which is very common today because of the masana', because of the factories and the likes like this. And mass production. So they'll produce, for example, 100 thobes, all of them exactly the same. All of them exactly the same. And they'll put them in a package. So you don't have to open every one of them and check it out. Rather, you see the example of that, and you know what it is, and you buy the one, and this is lawful. This is lawful. Or if you have a phone, for example, the model of phone, you want to buy a particular phone, a particular model. So they make thousands of them. They make thousands of the same kind. You see one of them, you say, give me one, I want one like this. So he's going to get you a box, and he shows you an example. And you don't have to look at it and make sure it's the exact same one. And when the people are reliable, this type of dealing is lawful. This type of dealing is lawful. Somebody who sells food, for example, I need some bread, two loaves of bread. A baker, two loaves of bread, and you know the bread. What kind of bread? This kind of bread. You go back and get it and bring it to you. And you give him that. He go back and bring it to you. And he brings the one that you described. All of this is lawful. Also, another type of transaction, which is called al-mu'atat. 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 And this is whenever you just hand the money over. This one is lawful likewise. This one is lawful likewise. The people of knowledge, as I mentioned, some of them, they say, in that which is considered light, or that which is considered easy. And this can occur in a number of ways. And sometimes maybe a person will go to the store, and he'll, for example, have a bottle of water. And he'll tell the person at the counter, how much is this water? And he'll be like, $1. You just hand him $1 and leave. You hand him $1 and leave. You don't say, okay, I'll buy it for $1. Right? The origin in buying and selling is one where he'll say, I'll sell you this. You say, okay, I'll buy it. I'll sell you this for this much. He said, okay, I'll buy it for this much. بِعْتُ كَذَا بِكَذَا اشْتَرَيْتُ. That's the origin. That a person, or I'll buy this from you for this much. Okay, I'll sell it to you for this much. It's yours. Like this. Like the seller, he mentions that he will sell it, and the buyer mentions that he will buy it, and they agree on the price, and then it's sold. And the contract is like this. But sometimes it will occur without even talking. Maybe somebody in certain bocadas, for example, in the grocery store, you know that this is a real. You know this is a dollar. It's very common, for example, in Al-Mamlaka Arabiya Saudiya. You go into the store, something, you say, Salaam alaikum, and you hand him a real, and you walk out the store. You have a bottle in your hand. You hand him 1 real. You don't say, how much is this, or I'm going to sell you this, or I'm going to buy this from you. You just have the bottle in your hand. You hand him a real, and you keep going. You keep going. You give him salam like this. So there's no communication going on, but it's known between both of them that this costs a real, and you hand it to him, and you're all good. You're all good like this. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to say, I'll buy this for this much, or I'll sell you this for that much, so on and so forth. So maybe Maybe one will say, I'll buy this, for example, I'll buy this bottle for a dollar. And the man, he looks at you, and then you hand him the dollar and he takes it. He bought, you bought it. He didn't say, yes, okay, I'll sell it to you for a dollar. But whenever he took the dollar, that means that he accepts. That means that he accepts. So all of this is considered lawful. All of this is considered lawful. Some of the people have not as mentioned this issue here of al-mu'atat is lawful and things that are considered light. As for if it was something that's very valuable or very expensive, then there needs to be a clear contract in order to cut off disputes and problems. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Also, the people have not as mentioned, amma bay'u as-sil'ah, bay'u sil'ah al-gha'iba al-mawsufa wasfan yarfa'u anha al-jahala. وَيُمَيِّزُهَا عَنْ غَيْرِهَا فَعَقْدُهُ صَحِيحٌ فَعَقْدُهُ صَحِيحٌ. This has proceeded likewise, but we just take it as a review from the benefits of the likes of this narration, is that selling an item that's not present, selling an item that's not present, but it's described in a manner that it distinguishes, and it's known, yani, the reality of that item. Either a person, he will tell him the description of it directly and completely until he's as if he's looking at it, or he'll see it. You'll see a picture of it, like some, like buying nowadays on the devices. Sometimes you see an item, you look at it, and it looks like this, and this is the one you like, and you purchase it based upon that. Based upon that, it's not even there. It's not even present now. Or somebody, for example, will say, I have a vehicle. I have a vehicle in another state. It's this model, that model, this many miles, so on and so forth, this color. It has this wrong with the seat or the door, so on and so forth. I want to sell it for this much. You say, okay, I'll buy it. And he'll buy it like that. Like that, they'll do the contract, you're selling the money, the vehicle's his. The vehicle's his. Now it has to bring it to him, or he has to go pick it up, and the likes like this. But this one has the condition that if the purchaser finds, whenever he gets the item, if it's contrary to the description mentioned, then the one selling it, he must rectify that. He must fix that, either by bringing, fix, he be upgrading the item until it's just as it is in the description, or by giving his money back, or by paying him the difference. From the benefits of this narration, we see عناية الشريعة الإسلامية بنشر المحبة والألفة بين الناس. The great care and concern of the Islamic legislation to spread love and harmony amongst the people, and that they would be able to get along and live comfortably, and their rights are fulfilled without animosity and hatred in their hearts. وذلك بالنهي عن كل ما يسبب التباغض والتشاحن والنزاع الذي كان يحصل بين أهل الجاهلية لقيام بيوعهم على الغرر والجهالة على الغرر والجهالة. يعني the great diligence and care of the Islamic legislation has shown for spreading love and harmony and peace amongst the people and the society, and that is by forbidding every means that leads to animosity and hatred and hard feelings in the hearts and disputes that the people of Jahiliyyah used to be upon because of what their transactions and their dealings consisted of from the affairs of al-gharar and al-jahala. Al-gharar wal-jahala. Wal-jahala. Also from the benefits of this narration is that which is mentioned by An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, An-Nahyu an al-gharar aslun azimun min usuri al-buyu'. The prohibition of gharar is a great fundamental from the principles of al-buyu', buying and selling. Yadkhulu fihi masailu kathira. غير منحصرة, and many different aspects are included in this prohibition, and they cannot be limited. And there's so many different means or manners that this type of transaction could occur. The one that carries these different ambiguities and issues and problems that lead to disputes or to rights being violated and the likes like this. Ibn Abdul Bar, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-aslu fi hadha al-bab. الأصل في هذا الباب كله النهي عن القمار والمخاطرة وذلك للميسر المنهي عنه. The fundamental principle in this regard, in this chapter, is the prohibition of القمار and المخاطرة. Any of these great dangers and hazards and disputes, unknown ambiguities, which is in reality a type of gambling, which is forbidden, which is a type of gambling and is forbidden. The author, he mentioned here this narration, which is the narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, who is known by his kunya. But his name is Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan. Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan, an Ansari al-Khazraji, radiallahu anhu. His father, likewise, was a noble companion, Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan, radiyallahu anhuma, ustushhida abuhu yawma Uhudin. His father was martyred on the day of Uhud. And Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu ghaza ma'a nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thintay ashrata ghazwa awwaluha al-Khandaq. And he attended 12 different battles along the side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first of them was the Battle of the Trench. وَكَانَ صَغِيرًا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ, because he was too young before then. حَفِظَ عَنَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ عِلْمًا كَثِيرًا, and he memorized and transmitted great vast knowledge from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْمُكْثِرِينَ فِي الرِّوَايَةِ, he is one of those as well who had narrated more than 1,000 narrations on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, from those seven from the Sahaba who narrated more than 1,000 narrations, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, وهو من علماء الأنصار رضي الله عنه, توفي في المدينة ودفن في البقيع في سنة 74 هجريا. And he died in Medina and he was buried in al-Baqi', which is the graveyard next to the masjid of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He died in the year 74. He died in the year 74. That's 1 year before Abdullah ibn Umar. He died in the year 73. He died in the year 73. Radiallahu anhuma. After this, the author, he mentions the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, clarifying five different types of forbidden transactions. Inshallah, we take that in our class to come. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.